You're on The Bert Show.
So, Jen's been telling about how Iron Man is opening tonight at midnight. And of course,
Iron Man 2,
that is opening at midnight tonight, that I'm very excited about, obviously, because I'm a geek. And so I will, it's Friday night that I'm actually going to see it, not tonight at midnight. Mm-hmm. However, I have a personal connection with this movie that
so
I want
cool.
to share with you guys.
Okay.
So I have a friend, you know how we've talked so many times about how, man, if I could invent this, or if I had this great invention, if this would, you know, be something that would be successful, wouldn't it be cool, right? We've had that conversation over and over again. Bert, you've teased about if somebody came to you and said, you know, if I have this invention, will you invest, you know, however much, like we tease about
the Snuggie,
Snuggie and everything.
Or the fart blanket.
The fart blanket, right. Well, a friend of mine has an invention that's a little more sophisticated than that. But a friend of mine for years has been working, he and his wife, on this invention that is called SimCraft, okay? And it's a motion simulator. And I've actually been in this thing where it's kind of a...
I bet you have.
It's been in, whatever. It's been in racing. It's like racing simulation, flight simulation. So a lot of race car drivers have tried this out, and some pilots have tried this out, because it is basically, and I don't know how to describe it, it's in this frame. So you're sitting in a seat in a frame where when you're in motion, it's very fluid because the framework allows the seat to move in all kinds of directions. So for instance,
are you watching a movie in front of you to make you feel like
there's like three, I believe it's like three independent screens that kind of give you a landscape view of what you're looking at. So it was a couple years ago that I first tried it in their basement where, I mean, and that's where inventions are, right? In people's basement.
Sure.
And so sitting in there playing a racing game, and you talk about how we've been at Atlanta Motor Speedway and you drove the cars and how you banked up and how the banking of a racetrack kind of puts you on the side. Well, with this...
Feels like you're going to fall over to your side.
Right. Well, with this, you actually, it moves to where you feel like you are banking on the side. You know, instead of like... Like,
cool.
You know, other things that might try to simulate things, it just kind of shakes. Well, this thing, because of the framework, allows the seat to move because there's nothing underneath the seat. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so they have this invention. It's really cool. And they've been shopping it around all over the world. Well, it ends up, they had talked to Marvel, okay? Marvel Comics, who owns Iron Man. And sure enough, when you go to see Iron Man tonight or this weekend or whenever you go to see it, and Tony Stark has his basement of all of his toys where he has his motorbikes and his cars and everything, there is a SimCraft in Tony Stark's basement that he owns.
Isn't that cool?
And my friend's invention is in Iron Man 2 in this movie.
Now, awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Cool is that? So
besides that just being cool, like ego-wise, will that turn into bucks for him eventually?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Because
people go, what is that thing?
Yeah, because people, because it is a unique toy, because I mean, it's pretty much, you know, the ultimate, you know, man cave is if you're an Iron Man fan. I mean, Tony Stark is like this, he's big, you know, in collecting all these kind of things. So yeah, people wonder, well, what is that? Because I recognize the car, I recognize the motorbike, what is that? And then you can find out all more about SimCraft. But it is so exciting for them. So Friday night, we got a whole SimCraft party we're going, and we're going to be playing on
That's
the SimCraft,
awesome.
And then as a group going to go see Iron Man 2 together.
Very cool.
So yeah, so I'm very proud of
and
them.
You guys are going to be the only ones applauding when they show the first scene of
the
dude
baseball.
Walking.
Yeah!
One whole row is going to be like, woo!
Here we go, SimCraft. Here we go.
So my question for people like me who maybe don't know Iron Man, who's Tony?
Tony Stark is Robert Downey Jr.'s character.
Okay.
And he's a rich guy. He's the owner of a company, a technology company. And so he is... you know, a billionaire. So he has these toys that, you know, he's able to collect all kinds of classic cars and motorbikes and all kinds of fun stuff that he had in his basement. And he invented the whole Iron Man suit and everything because he's technologically advanced.
I found out last night, I didn't know this until it was too late, that my wife is so anti-Iron Man. She won't allow...
Why?
It was said in passing last night. I really got to talk to her more about it. But on Saturday morning... I took the kids to Target. That's how you know you're a parent, when it's 9 in the morning and you're at Target buying books and gifts for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So Hayden really wanted this Iron Man mask, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know he was all that into it. I've seen like an Iron Man toy here or there at the house, so he's really into it. So we go to Target and you put it on and it talks. It makes the Iron Man voice. So we were watching something on Nick last night and an Iron Man commercial came on and she's so anti.
What'd she say about it?
Did you have to sneak in and hide the mask that you bought, Hayden?
No, she realized that I didn't know, and Hayden knows the Iron Man rules, but didn't tell me about it, so I kind of got played on Saturday morning.
Oh, he used you.
Yeah. Well, totally did.
Daddy, let's go get Iron Man stuff.
Well, and you know, he was so clever about the way he does it. I'm glad he's not listening, because I got to give him credit. He's just like his old man. That he told me that he wanted to get a book. And I'm like, if my kid wants to get a book, then man, I'm gonna bend over backwards if my kid digs reading that much. Let's get up on Saturday morning and we will go get you that book at Target. So we get in there and he talks me into one book and one toy. And I think his initial intention was to go in and get the Iron Man mask, and he used the book to get in the store in order to get the Iron Man mask.
Was the book an Iron Man book?
No, it was a Diary of a Wimpy Kid book.
Yeah.
But I think it could have been any book. I think he was just, that was his game plan right there, because the old man didn't know.
What are you doing with Rachel Ray's 30-minute meals, too? I don't know. Let's go get my toy.
But she started talking about yesterday. I got to be totally honest with you. As a husband, I sort of checked out. And as a dad, I checked out because it seemed to me so ridiculous that there are already Iron Man toys in the house. So when she was complaining last night that I bought this, I didn't even hear her reason why.
Okay.
But I heard her say the word violence, and I know she won't allow him to play with any kind of toy guns or anything like that. But we're not going to be seeing that movie for whatever reason.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
It was explained to me last night, but...
So you're going to miss the Simcraft in his basement.
You've been going out with somebody for 16 years. Sometimes you just check out. You can feel the vibrations on the ears.
You're right.
And you pick up some words, but yeah, I'm going
to
miss it.
For those allowed to go see Iron Man 2 this weekend, be sure when... Yeah, there is. It's kind of like a... It's like a. It's almost like a seat in a cage, okay? It's like this framework. So when you're looking at Tony Stark's basement, take a look for Simcraft, and that's my friend's adventure right here in Atlanta.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
We have been working with Jersey Mike's now for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
For about, what was it, a month that you guys were raising money for Burt's Big Adventure?
A month, yes, all during March.
Right. And Steve and Jeff are area directors for Jersey Mike's. And your efforts over 30 days are about to pay off. We were asking you guys to come on in and buy the...
Number 13.
You do.
It's good.
What
was Italian sub.
Italian sub. Jeff had an issue with the 13. He wanted to go 9.
Well, I don't change a lot.
Nonconformist.
Yeah, so I stick with a 9. I may have snuck a 13 in, but I was mainly a 9 guy.
Did you feel like you were cheating? Like there's sub-infidelity going on?
Well, the awesome thing about it being in March, too, is when Katie, Joe, and I went to our local Jersey Mike's, they had the basketball tournament on, and so Tennessee would be on. And so I'd watch Tennessee play, and we'd have our subs and support Burt's Big Adventure.
I got to be honest with you. I thought when Cappy said he was bringing in Jersey Mike's, I was expecting sandwiches and not people. So this whole segment is overall disappointing so far.
And it's making me hungry as we talk about all these subs.
Well, hopefully that's about to change as far as the disappointing thing goes.
I think so. I think you'll be happy. Our goal was $20,000.
Wow.
So it was about a week left in the promotion, and Cappy called up and said, you know, where are we at? How are we doing?
I'll take 2,000 subs. Just another lunch for Cappy.
So we brought a bunch of coupons down to the station, and you guys loaded them up on the trucks and took them out to every event, and they were free subs. All they had to do was come into their local Jersey Mike's and donate $1 to Burt's Big Adventure. And through the last week with the push, we ended up at over $27,000.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Wow, thank you guys. It's been a good couple of weeks for Burt's Big Adventure right here. Thank you.
Incredible.
Jersey Mike's and you guys raised $27,016. That $16 is going to go a long way right there.
There you go.
Thank you guys. That is really big money. Every time we have somebody that gives us any kind of donation, I always say that that's big money for Burt's Big Adventure, and it really is. I mean, we're a small organization. We keep it that way for a reason, for the reason that when you give $27,000, you know exactly where it's going. There's no hidden fees. You could hear it on the radio. You can see the kids on the website, so you know where that's going.
Yep. Well, we were talking with Cappy, too, that, you know, this hopefully is the first year of many.
I hope.
I mean, our franchisees were ecstatic. Your fan base and our fan base combined, they were all coming in the stores. They were pumped up about it. And 27,000 number 13s later, here we go. Wow.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys.
That's incredible.
And thanks to everybody at Jersey Mike's that helped out. And thanks to all the Burt Show listeners that went down and bought a 13 as well. And hopefully we see you guys again next year.
I think so. It looks great.
Okay, thanks for bringing in that tasty cardboard check. That sure is good. Tied us over until lunch. Aww. That's cool.
Jeff is just looking at you like a big old turkey leg right now. All right, you have to get out of here quick. All right, if you guys want info on Burt's Big Adventure, then go to the website, Q100Atlanta.com. This is the trip that we take down to Disney World every year, and we take children that have chronic and terminal illnesses, and we take the whole family, and we pay for everything, and it is top shelf the whole way. And the only way we can continue to do this is by you guys helping out and donating, either through Jersey Mike's or individual donations. And you can do that all online, Q100Atlanta.com.
The Burt Show. This is The Burt Show.
I think Jeff was saying that this used to just be a segment on ABC, right? Now it's a whole show?
I think it started out as, remember like on Dateline, they used to get Chris Hansen stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And it became like the most popular thing, so then eventually they just started promoting that. I think that's how this started a year or two ago, and now it's a regular show where they put people in uncomfortable situations to find out what the general public's response is. So they hire actors to play the role, like as Bert will explain, of a girl in a bar and a guy trying to take advantage of her. The mm-hmm. one I first saw that was fascinating was they got a couple of black people to play customers at a store where they were blatantly treated profiled because of their race, treated disrespectfully by the store owner, who was also an actor, to find out what all the other people in the store would do. Fascinating to see, because you can't help but put yourself in that situation and wonder, God, if I was mm-hmm. in a store and there's a black person mm-hmm. right there and the owner of the store is saying, we don't want your kind in here.
Would you step up?
Do you speak up? Do you walk out? What do you do? It's, mm-hmm. it's an awesome show.
This is the setup from this weekend.
You're sitting at a bar and can't help but notice...
My birthday. Bartender, it's my birthday.
This plastered young woman celebrating her 21st birthday.
It's so pretty.
There you go.
Thank you.
For you.
She's waiting for her girlfriends to return when this stranger joins her.
What kind of birthday shots are we taking?
His intentions...
You ever done a body shot?
...quickly become questionable.
What?
And he can't seem to keep his hands off her.
Are those birthday shots coming?
People at this New Jersey bar seem concerned. But will anyone step up to protect this defenseless young woman?
Touching my hair. I don't know who you are.
Our hidden cameras are rolling.
Okay, so you have all sorts of dudes, all sorts of women, right, that are in the bar with them, and they're mm-hmm. watching this whole thing go down.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a little bit more of the setup, and now they're trying to get – and again, these are actors – the drunk woman and the sober guy trying to get her out of the bar.
Oh, he's an actor too.
These are actors.
Okay.
And there are hidden cameras that are, they're videoing the whole thing.
Okay.
Is she going to be all right over there? Yeah, she came in here plastered and they're trying to give her more shots.
Want to get out of here?
What people don't know is that the young woman and her pursuer are both actors. Now watch as he tries to get her out the door.
We'll get some air. We'll get some fresh air, yeah?
Okay, yeah. I should maybe.
Oh, we all right?
Yeah.
I think that's the end of the birthday shot for her.
My hotel is literally 2 blocks away.
Okay. Yeah? I don't know you.
I know.
I don't know who you are.
I don't know, but I'll take care of you. We'll hang out.
Hey, he's taking advantage.
Why are you touching me?
Concerned or not, so far, no one is preventing him from taking her out of the bar.
Okay.
All right, so you have some guys at the bar that are talking amongst each other. The mics are picking that up, but nobody's saying anything to her.
She don't walk out with you because she don't know you.
I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to get her back to the hotel. All right? Yeah.
Near the door, a white knight appears just in the nick of time.
She has to see here with the fresh air. She cannot do that because she don't know you.
Yeah?
If she says she knows you,
do you know me? We had a couple drinks together.
I don't know.
Yeah? Do I look like a nice guy?
What?
I don't care what your nice thing is. She don't want this place without you.
And he won't let up.
She don't want this freaking place with you if she don't know you.
Until the defeated young man walks out the door alone.
Yay!
My name is John.
Yes, sir. How are you?
When we catch up with him afterwards, he's overcome with concern, thinking of his own daughter.
Why did you get involved?
I have my daughter, 25-year-old, and they die every year. They die on the skids. I don't like it to happen to any woman like that. I don't want it to happen.
Wow.
He's got his own daughter.
Oh, wow.
So he was totally feeling it, right?
It's making tears.
There's good men there. Yeah.
So I think what they do is they go back in and they recreate it later on.
Mm-hmm.
And will people interfere or will they just let them go?
How's that feel?
Back at the bar, will anyone stop our young woman from becoming a victim?
You know what? She doesn't want you to do
that. She doesn't
want to
be touched.
Back it off.
Can you tell?
She,
can you
She doesn't want you to touch her. Leave her alone.
I beg to differ.
Okay, well, leave her alone. Well, she's not interested in you rubbing her back.
We're just having a good time.
She doesn't know you.
What are you, her mother?
Maybe I am, yeah.
And once women get involved, they often inspire others to join in. Just watch this tug of war.
I think they went to the hotel, right? They went to the hotel?
Yeah, they went to the hotel.
They went to the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I should go outside and get some
air. Are you sure?
And when he tries to carry her out...
I'm going to make sure she gets back safe to her hotel.
What should we do?
Not let him take her. She doesn't want to go.
So the women are pretty much saying, no, you're not allowed to take her anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Now, here are some of the young guys in the bar.
But there are some differences, especially when the bystanders are young men.
You want a shot? Okay.
Oh, wait. I want a couple. What? You only turned 21 once?
While this guy does tell our sleazy actor to settle down, just listen to the conversation when our party girl goes off to the ladies' room.
You think I can get her out of here?
You gotta go for a walk on the beach.
A walk on the beach, I like that. Let's just go for a walk to the Hilton.
You might wind up at the Hilton.
Or when her friends come back, that's where you come in. You
that's fine with me. All right. I like the brunette.
Cheers to my birthday!
Cheers!
Woo! It's a young single dude.
So he was making, I couldn't tell who was who.
He was helping him make plans as to how to get her out.
How to get her out.
Don't say you're going to the hotel, say you're going for a walk.
Now here are I think these are a group of young married guys. How are they going to handle it?
And these young married men seem to wish they were in our actor's shoes.
I guess the rings give it away.
Can I get this thing off?
And when our party girl's not around, they too offer up some advice.
Do you think this is going to happen?
I don't think she knows where she is, so you should be a little nervous. She's going to wake up with the pants around her ankle.
It's a little hard to hear them because they're voice disguised and their faces are blurry too, but they're basically saying, go for it.
They even appear amused when our actor lures our wasted party girl out the door.
Let's get out of here.
Well, I really think we should stay.
Let's get out of here.
You can't believe it. That guy just hit the Mega Millions.
But it's not so funny when you learn that this young man is an off-duty cop.
Ooh.
That's right. He's a cop. And he later tells us he didn't do more because intervening could get complicated for someone in law enforcement.
Wow. That's exactly why. Wow.
That's so disappointing, scary. Especially with guys.
Well, remember the first couple?
That's not shocking, right?
The first couple helped her. First couple dudes.
First dude
helped. One dude was the dad.
First dude, and then the second was
the woman.
What, Melissa, that look?
No, I because it's disappointing. I'm curious what the guys think about it, because of course the girls are disappointed.
I'm not surprised by the results, unfortunately.
I don't know what I would do. Like, I would like to think that I would be like the first guy, but I'm almost sure I would be influenced by the group of people I was with. Like, it would have been a situation where, like, if I was there with, like, Jen, Melissa, and Wendy, and one of y'all said, hey, that guy can't take that girl out of here, then I think I would probably try to step up and be the hero and go, yeah, I'm going to go get her. She can hang out with us, you know, and then go try to whatever and get her over here and
whatever. I think
whatever.
That's most people, though.
But I think if it was a situation where I was with a bunch of dudes who were like, ah, oh, look at that, I think I'd probably play right along.
Because the women came together because one woman stood up, then the other women decided to band with her. So I don't think I think most people would react based on who they were with.
I think when you're like 21, 22, 23 years old and you're single and you're a guy also, it's just, you almost have this mentality that it's the dudes club. Like you're every single guy's wingman. So if a guy has an opportunity to get some, I think when you're young, you're like, go do what you got to do. Now, once you get older, I think that changes. But the truth, like Jeff is saying, if you're in a crowd of younger guys and you're young, you probably let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Here's B. Good morning, B. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. Hey, Bert. Good morning to all you guys. Hey, I've watched that show many, many times. It's a great show. I love it. But here's my only issue with the show. A lot of times it's so over the top that I don't think it's as realistic. Like in this case, I mean, it was so blatant. Hey, my hotel's just down the street. And I know, obviously, they're trying to get a reaction out of the folks, so I understand that. But, you know, to Jeff's point, even with the racism, I've seen the one with the racism, and you don't usually hear people say, I don't want your kind here, you know, in my store. Go shop somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually a lot more subtle. So my only concern with the show is, while it is a great show, sometimes, you know, it's so over the top that it's kind of unrealistic, you know? So I think the key would be to find out how people will react when it's a lot more subtle.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you follow me?
Even over the top, though, they still wouldn't help her. I mean, it's blatant that he's trying to get her out of there, and it's disappointing that these guys aren't even sticking up for her, even if it's over the top. I mean, now subtly, that's even more scary.
Do you think that some guys feel like if she's that drunk and that young and by herself, maybe she deserves whatever she gets?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. I don't think that's the thought process at all.
I think it's that's their business, and
sad.
If she's, you know, like, she's, even though she's drunk, she's still an adult. She's in a bar. She legally can drink. They served her. So
I'm trying to use my words carefully here because I know they're going to offend, but I just think when you're young and you're single, it's like every young guy's goal is to get sex, and if you can help another young single guy get sex, you probably don't stop that.
Even if he's taking advantage of somebody?
Who's drunk? Yeah, I got to be honest with you.
Isn't the tactic is to try to get somebody drunk?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if a group of young men or a young guy would look at it as taking advantage of. Like, I don't think that would be the thought process.
It's opportunistic.
I think it would be, yes, she's an adult.
Mm-hmm.
She's legally able to drink. The bartender served her. Like, a guy would put the responsibility off on everyone else.
Now, let me ask Jeff this question. Let's see if it changes the game entirely. Okay, Jeff, so she's 22.
Yes.
And there's a guy in the bar that's 45 or 50.
Yes.
Do you intervene or not?
I don't think it would make it. It depends. Again, it's the same situation. It depends on the crowd I'm with, sadly.
That would change for me.
You'd be more likely to intervene.
Yes.
If it was another 21-year-old guy.
Yes.
Got it.
So, yeah, because
that makes sense.
The caller was talking about over the top. Her reaction would still be the same, even though the guy, you know, let's say the guy wasn't. I get his point. The guy wasn't saying, oh, let's go to a hotel. Let's just, you know, come on, let's go. Let's go. And if she was saying no, I think that her response would still be the same. If a woman is trying to fight a guy off, I think that's the issue is, would you, because if she's obviously into him, then nobody's going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's trying to fight him off and he's forcing her out of the bar, you know.
Hey, Cindy, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning. I just want to tell you, I was in a similar situation. A girl was really, really drunk, and these two guys were kind of corralling her into a corner, and she looked really uncomfortable and wanted to get away from it. I intervened, and I went over, my sister and I, and said, hey, you know, leave her alone. And she got really mad at my sister and I and started screaming at us that she didn't know us and leave me alone and it's none of your business. Wow. And it was really awful. And she was falling down drunk.
Wow, and really?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, it is, you don't know when you're going to intervene what you're going to get. And we kind of sat around the bar for a while and waited to see what would happen because we were really concerned about her. She was obviously alone, and these guys were taking advantage. And by the way, Bert, I'm kind of disappointed that you said that that's okay.
I never said it was okay. Don't mix my words. I never said it was okay.
Well, just that that's a guy's goal. I mean, I get that about being young, but where's your character? I mean, just because you can do something, you know, I mean, this is when girls wake up in the middle of the night and don't know where they are and call the police. You know, it's not okay.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Here's the situation, Bert. Yeah, you gave me another scenario. Let me give you another scenario.
Well, if yours is too difficult, I'm just not going to answer it.
And guess what? When you do answer it, I'm going to misinterpret your words, and I'm going to say that you're encouraging this stuff to happen. Okay, so it's a situation like that girl just described where you decide to intervene, right? You want to go out there and say something, so you go out there. Maybe you're with a couple buddies, and you all go out there and say something, right? Mm-hmm. And the girl shoos you off.
She what?
Shoos you away.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no.
She says, get out of here.
Yeah.
Shoo fly.
She's like, no. I'm just getting to know this guy. He's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do you do?
I'll probably let it happen.
I mean, I think that when somebody's really drunk, you have to expect one of them to get mean at you, because the guy's going to insult you. Like the woman said, well, you're a mom or something. I mean, that's a typical guy response to somebody who's trying to break something up. But I think that if she's really sloppy drunk and you know that she is not, I mean, first of all, I fault her friends. I fault her and having, I fault the women for not, you know, her friends not taking care of her. But I think that you still have to intervene and save her from a really, it could be a really horrible night, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Here's Casey. Good morning, Casey. You're on Q100.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know, y'all skipped over the worst part. The two cops that, they suggested that the guy should take her somewhere secluded on the beach and then said, hey, maybe you should take her up under the pier.
Oh, those were the police officers that said that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really scary.
That is disturbing. Here is Josh. Good morning, Josh. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, how are you guys?
Okay.
Good.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know, this is called the bystander effect. The more bystanders you have in a situation like this, the more, the less likely people can feel compelled to go intervene because they feel the weight is off their shoulders. Other people are watching. They shouldn't have to intervene because somebody else will.
And that's a good point.
That's how people end up being missing, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's thinking somebody else is taking care of it.
Right. Yeah.
This is The Burt Show. It's The Burt Show.
I didn't realize this, but Jeff had called in while we were on.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Burt Show. Hey, it's me again.
Hey,
hi, me.
We're here, too.
Hey, you.
Are you
Hello?
A long-time Hello? Listener, first-time caller, or what?
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
So I just posted, I'm on my way in, by the way. I just posted a picture of Jen's tire.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I tweeted it. She knows how to get a flat.
Is it really, like, it blew up on
thrashed?
Her?
No, I don't know. She must have driven on that thing for, I don't know. She drove back from Florida yesterday, right? There's a chance that she got a flat tire in Macon.
Is, like, the rim all jacked up?
Oh, my God. There's no rubber left on the tire.
Oh, really? It's that bad?
Oh, boy.
It's insane.
I'm glad she's okay, then.
Yeah.
She's driving that long on a flat tire?
It didn't explode or anything.
The hero truck is there, and Brandon is there, so I'm not getting dirty.
Would you even know how to change a tire if you had to right now?
Hell yeah.
I would not.
You would not? Yeah, I know how to change a tire.
I know the stuff is in the trunk, and I've seen people do it, but I've actually never gone and done it myself.
So, Jeff, what you're saying is that the tire was already kind of bald? She must have driven on it?
Oh, no. No. I'm saying that however it happened, and she was explaining, but...
she just kept driving on it.
But yeah, she said she was in the far left lane, and it went, and she didn't really know it went. But wait till you see the picture. I mean, it's like the stuff you see during a NASCAR race.
It just, like, completely exploded.
Yes. I mean, it's shredded. So I don't know who called the hero truck, if that was Jen or if it was Carl who did it on her behalf. But, I mean, he was there 60 seconds after I got there.
Wow, that fast.
That's awesome.
Here's Carl. What's up, Carl?
Yeah, I call it a hero truck. Bert, man, come on, man.
You know, I've seen it too. I know, Carl.
I know. I talk about guys like you.
I know, dude. I think I could do it because I've seen it done. Because I've seen it done.
You've never changed a tire before? You've never changed for real, man. You've never changed a tire before?
I've never changed a tire.
You got to be kidding me.
I swear, I've never changed a
battery.
I've never changed a battery.
The oil.
Did a jump.
I have cables, but I've never physically put them on the battery.
Now, Carl, did you hear earlier how he was all like being all like, "Oh, I'm too much of a man to go see Mary Poppins, but he can't change his tire."
Now I know why.
Yeah, my parents made me take like an introductory car maintenance class when I was like 16 years old before I got my license. So I went. For like the 3 weeks, and I did everything there, so it's somewhere in my head, but I've never actually had to go and do it.
I am surprised as a guy, because I do think parents are a little biased when it comes to teaching their kids about cars. You know, like my family, you know, my sister probably knows more about cars than the rest of us. Mm-hmm. But at least I do think it's very important to know how to change.
It's totally
that's
true,
man.
I got one worse for you.
I do love Bert's justification for everything. Like, you know how to change a tire? No, but I know this stuff is in the trunk. Yeah, you know how to jump a car? No, but I have cable.
I don't think I could jump a car today, but I do think that I could change my tire. Here's another one for you, Carl, all right?
Oh,
if you're already starting to lose respect for me.
Hold on a second.
I've already told these guys a story. I had an old Jeep Wrangler back in the day, like an old red Jeep Wrangler. It was like jacked up high.
It's a man car.
Right, it's a manly car, right, man.
A stomper looking car.
Like no doors on the side, soft top. Yeah, man's car, right?
Yeah, just, ugh.
Stacy and I are driving home from a party one day, and... the Jeep breaks down, And I don't know what's underneath the hood. I've never had my dad teach me any of this stuff.
I gotta go.
It's worse. Stacy gets underneath the hood. It's on her back.
Your girl is underneath
the
hood.
Jeep on the side of the road while I'm like sitting on the trunk, sitting in the car.
Oh, no.
That'll make you feel manly.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's violation, man. That's violation. I'm about to pull your car right now. Give me.
Bert knows how to change a tire. Isn't it 1-800-AAA-1234
yes.
or something like that?
I'm not going to lie to you. If I've ever had a busted tire, I've called AAA. Yeah, mm-hmm. or I've just ridden on it long enough to get to a Shell station. I'm not going to lie to you.
Wow.
I don't see you getting your hands dirty either.
Yeah, you know, didn't you know where Jen was pulled over? Because I think you sent Brandon, didn't you, Carl?
I did not know. Oh, Carl, and somebody, who, Carl or me?
He said Carl.
Oh, Carl.
Carl said yeah.
Yeah, Carl said he sent the Euro truck. He wasn't going out himself.
Yeah, Carl's like, oh, come on, man. You don't know how to change a tire. Hey, Brandon, go change a tire.
All right, so you're going to be in what time, you think?
I'm actually pulling in the parking lot right now. She's only like two exits away.
Oh, really? Okay. Was she pretty freaked out? Is she pretty frazzled?
No, she was fine. I think she was annoyed, actually, because she was on hold with AAA and nobody picked up.
Ooh.
So she was at the whole entire time, like the minute I called Carl to tell him that I was going to be late, he's like, well, is Jen near you? And told me where she was. I said, all right, I'll go by. That whole time she was on the hold with AAA until I got there. She was still on hold when I left. She hung up when the Hero truck got there.
But it's a great plug for the Hero truck because, mm-hmm. like you said, the Hero truck was right there.
Someone's got to even explain to me what the Hero truck is.
The Hero trucks are those big yellow vehicles that drive on the highways all the time. But if you call the number, they're there in 2 seconds.
I guess so.
They're for people like, you know, who don't know how to change a tire. You run out of gas, jump the car off.
Or if you don't want to wait on hold for AAA that you pay for, you can get something for free.
All right, Jeff, we'll see you in a couple seconds.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Here's Allie. Good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, what's up, Buster? How y'all doing today?
Good.
What's going on, dude?
All right. Man, I was at Quick Trip one weekend, and this lady, she was maybe 45, and she was trying to get her car jumped off, and she said she was at the Quick Trip for like 25 minutes for anyone to help her jump a car. She said she asked like maybe about 10 guys, and none of them knew how to jump a car off, and she had her own jumper cable.
Yeah.
And she was like... I'm like, are you serious? She's like, no one knew. They're like, don't you have AAA? She's like, no, I got jumper cables. I just don't know how to put them on. And luckily, you know, I was there and I jumped off. And she said, one guy said, I'm not getting dirty, you know, so...
Oh, no.
Now, I can understand if you didn't know how to do it, because you could do some, I mean, it could be bad if you put the cables on wrong, but to not want to get dirty.
It was horrible, you know. I was like, man, this is the state of men today. Like, hey, I hate to say it, but, you know, it's like people don't even want to jump a car off, you know, change a tire. I'm like, these are some basic men stuff.
I know, dude.
You should know.
I know. You're right. I wish we should eventually, another time,
take calls from women who've been stranded on the side of the road and count how many guys passed by that didn't stop to help.
Well, it's a manly thing, too. Like, you're supposed to know how to do this, so rather than stop and feel like a wuss, then you just probably keep on driving. Hey, Kathy, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, Bert, I did not realize that was you with me the other day when I had a flat tire. And I want to give props to Uncle Carl for calling Hero. Good for him. But no, the other day I had a flat tire in my husband's truck, no doubt, and this guy pulls up. I'm in my dress clothes. I'm a school teacher. I'm in my dress clothes, you know. He pulls up in his all workout clothes and, can I help? And I'm like, sure. And he goes, well, where's the jack? I said, you know what, never mind. I'll just do this myself.
Oh, so he couldn't go, he didn't even know it was in the trunk to go find it?
Okay, well, in a truck, it's not in a trunk. It's behind the seat.
And you were so offended he wouldn't know it was behind the seat, you just sent him on his way?
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you don't even know where the, I mean, if you don't know where the jack is, are you going to know how to change a tire?
Yeah, that could have been me.
My parents made sure that I knew how to change tires before I could even get my driver's license.
So you did change it all by yourself and you went on your way?
I changed it all by myself, yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's a little harsh, though. I don't think I would have known where Jack was in the truck.
Me neither.
But anyway.
It's in
the
back,
the guy's
right?
supposed to know. She says behind the seat, driver's seat.
Here's Michael. Hey, Michael, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. Okay, sir, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, Bert, if you need somebody to teach you or show you how to do to change a tire, man, I could show you how.
I am pretty sure.
He's got women in the studio that can help him.
Yeah.
That hurts, man. That hurts. Here, Bert Show.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
The Burt Show.
So I tweeted about this yesterday. You know, my mom and I haven't talked to each other in months, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you guys why it would take years and years and years and years. But basically, my mom said to me around, like, I don't know, November or something, like, this relationship, I can't, I've got too much going on right now, and this relationship is too hurtful. I don't want to speak to you. So, whatever. So then a couple of months later, she emails me back, and she's like, okay, I'm ready to talk now. I'm feeling healthy. So I sent her one back saying, you know, my life's really not on your timetable. So I'll hit you back when I'm ready for this. So we haven't talked to each other at all. And the things that led up to it, just, there's so many. There are years and years and years and stuff. Just can't mm-hmm. get into the whole thing. So I got a letter from her 48 hours ago in the mail.
Hmm.
And I haven't opened it up.
You mean like a handwritten letter?
You haven't.
Handwritten letter, snail mail.
Ooh.
And I just know the pattern, man. Like, I know that the things she's going to say in there are going to be hurtful. So it's sitting on my counter right now. And I have no idea when I'm going to open it up.
Happy Mother's Day.
I wouldn't do it on Sunday, yeah.
Right. Oof. Now, I could open it up and, you know, it could be like a complete reconciliation note. Who knows? Like, I'm so sorry that this has happened to us. We should be past this. But my gut says there are going to be daggers flown in that thing.
Mm. What? I don't understand.
That's what she does. She just like...
Like, I could understand a parent who had a child that maybe put them through... A whole lot of whatever, like I can't even imagine it. Because typically parents who have kids that are, you know, drug addicts and stealing from them and, you know, doing everything possible to hurt them, those parents are still, mm-hmm. like, would never throw daggers at their kids. I don't get it.
As a parent, I can't understand it either. Like, the things that my parents have said to me over the years, I could never, ever say to my children. Because you don't go out of your way to hurt your kids, right?
Right.
And that's why I don't think that she goes out of her way to hurt me, but she says things unknowingly that are just really hurtful as a child. And I'm at a place right now where I just don't feel like dealing with it, but that letter is always, it's there, Bert, on the counter, just Bert. Calling me like, you want to deal with me now? It's either deal with me now or deal with me later, but you're going to deal with me. So it's just sitting there right now.
What do you think you're going to do with it?
Roll it up and smoke it.
Well, the suggestions that I got on Facebook and Twitter yesterday I thought were really good, and ones that I hadn't thought of is have Stacy open it. And then she's sort of the filter saying, yeah, this is something that you could probably take right now, or no, let's wait a couple of months before we deal with it.
But even if she says that, it'll still eat at you, you know? Is it... How now, as you've grown older and you've gone through this phase with your parents several times, how long does it take you to recover from something that is hurtful?
It used to be easier. Now it's getting harder.
Really?
As I get older, yeah.
Because I was going to say, just rip the Band-Aid off and get it over with. But if it's going to take a while for you to recover from it, then I would wait until, you know, after, when you have time to do that.
I tell you what I think's happened is, you know, before I met Stacy and before I was getting a whole bunch of therapy, I just thought this was how families did things. And now I know differently. So when I get stuff like this, it hurts more.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you know it's so unhealthy.
Because I know it's so unhealthy and it's so unusual, you know?
I would say the opposite of the rip the Band-Aid off thing. I would say wait. Because this is a big month of celebrations for your family.
Yeah.
Like your wedding anniversary, mm-hmm. Hollis's birthday, your wife's birthday. Mm-hmm.
Mother's Day.
Like this is, May is always like a big month for you. Like a big month of celebrations. And you should be able to celebrate all of those things. They're all like really awesome things for your family. So like maybe wait till June 1st.
I think that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that.
As long as it doesn't, but then you have to put the letter away from you so you don't see it.
Yeah.
It just depends on how much it's in your head that it's sitting there.
Well, the importance of celebrating all these things might take precedence over you know, sort of the curiosity of what's in that letter. That's a good point that I hadn't even thought about.
Because if that,
how can you just totally compartmentalize it though and not think about it? You know?
I mean, only you can answer that.
Right, I can't.
Mm-hmm. You just don't want it to be a dark cloud over this month that's supposed to be such a celebration of your life.
Well, either way, it will be. Either dealing with it or not dealing with it is still going to be a dark cloud, right?
So, how well is Hayden reading?
You think that's a good solution?
You can make this into a lesson.
You are so ready to be a parent. I didn't know until just now.
That's what I was thinking. You see, you can be a learning experience.
You can use big words.
If it's talked about, rumored, or gossiped, you'll hear it first on Jen Hobby's Entertainment Buzz, Q100.
Sound it out, Hayden. Dysfunction. Dysfunctional.
Look, Daddy, there's fun in this dysfunctional world.
The Burt Show.